We're talking with former Tennessee Tiger head football coach Phil Lindsay here to break down our 100 years of high school football in Tennessee. Coach, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. It's great to be back in Tennessee.
Yeah, appreciate. Yeah, appreciate you coming over and chatting with us about what's been going on with your life and how you got here to Tennessee back when you came in the early 2000s. I just wanted to kind of start with your background as a player and then transitioning as a coach. You've won state championships as a player and a coach. Talk about that as you came up in the state of Georgia.
Okay, well, I went to a school, Bradwell Institute in Hinesville, Georgia. It was right at a military base, Fort Stewart. But anyway, I ended up playing quarterback my senior year. They moved me from a running back, backup running back to quarterback, and I started at safety my junior year. And then senior year, I started at quarterback and safety, and we ended up winning a state championship going 14-0. And it wasn't because I was a great quarterback, but I could call plays and I could hand the ball off and get it to the people who were, you know, the best athletes on the team. And we had a really good team, and we went 14-0, won a state championship, and that was a lot of fun. Then I also played baseball, and I played basketball and in high school, and really enjoyed all of that. And you know, when I left Bradwell, I went to South Georgia Junior College. In fact, kind of interesting story, I was really headed to Vietnam. This was 1966. And I got my notice that I need to go get my physical for the military. And anyway, my baseball coach called me and told me that South Georgia Junior College wanted me to come and play ball there, and I would be on work study, and they would pay for my school and give me a job there, you know, on the school. And I said, well, I can't, because I'm going to military. And he said, well, you go ahead and meet with them, let's see what happens. And then, so anyway, I met with them, and everything worked out as far as they were concerned. I went back and told them, well, they've accepted me. And he said, well, let's just see. And then a few days later, I got a notice in the mail that I was college deferred. And apparently he knew somebody that was involved with
military. You could have been in the military. You could have been in the war. You would have been in Vietnam.
Oh, yes. I've been in Vietnam. Yeah. There's no doubt. And I would have gladly gone, you know, growing up there in the military town. And I worked on a military base from the time I was able to drive.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a good situation in that town. And you got to know a lot about. My dad was a tank mechanic and worked on the military base. And so fortunately, I didn't have to go. And then when I graduated from junior college, I went to Georgia Southern, but they had the lottery for the draft. And so they just pulled your birth date out of a hat. And if your birth date was in the top, I think, 150, then you're gone. You're going to be drafted. And I think mine was 342 or something like that.
So you missed it twice. Yeah.
I missed it twice. Did not have to go. Like I said, I would have gladly gone. My brother had gone. He was in the Air Force, and he served. And it was fun growing up in a military town like that.
So you did the college thing, and did you know you would be a coach after? Was that what you were striving to
be? No. In fact, I didn't start out as a coach. I got married, and married a girl from Atlanta. We've been married for 50 years now. And
congratulations.
The love of my life. And but anyway, I first started managing a clothing store in my hometown. Got a job, and I absolutely hated that. I mean, it was a high-end clothing store in a town with people not having a whole lot of money. A lot of my friends come in there, and my bosses wanted me to try to push the high price some of the clothes on them and try to get them by. And I had a hard time doing that, knowing that if they spent that money on there, they had trouble feeding their family. So after about 9 months of that, I told him I had enough, and I took a job as a teacher and a coach, and I coached at Liberty County High School, which was the all-black school in my hometown. We had not consolidated yet with the white school, and there was me and one other white coach, and there were two white students at the school. At the whole school.
Yeah.
And it was Liberty County High School, and I actually played baseball at what was then called the Negro League, and that was the term they used for it. And I was me and one other white guy were the only ones that played in the entire league.
You played in a Negro league?
Right, yes.
Wow.
And we played, one of the first games was at Hilton Head. Well, the nice part of Hilton Head, it was where most of the blacks lived in Hilton Head. And we played there, and but, you know, I just had a great experience doing that. Hmm. And then the next year, the two schools consolidated, Liberty County High School and Bradwell Institute, and I coached there for a year, and then had an opportunity to go to Atlanta, and ended up teaching and coaching at the school that my wife went to, which was Lakeside High School. And so I taught at Lakeside for 26 years, I think it was. And I was head football coach there for 15 years. And I coached 3 years at Tucker High School, which was a rival of ours. And it was an interesting story how I got there. I'm not sure if you want me to tell that.
Yeah, I would like to, because your son was a player. He was a student. And you wanted to watch him play, but they played on Saturdays, right?
Yes. We had 19 high schools in DeKalb County at the time, and we didn't have any control over our schedule. And when my son signed at Auburn, I wanted to go watch him play, and I knew that I would maybe see one or two games if I had to coach on Saturday. So I went to the athletic director, and he wasn't one of the nicest guys, most friendly guys to Lakeside. We were pretty powerful school and did extremely well, and he wasn't one of our fans, I don't guess. But anyway, I asked him to see if he could change some of the Saturday games, and he didn't. So I said, well, I'm going back, I'm going to resign, and I'll stay on teaching, but I want to go watch him play.
So more, that was more important to you than being a coach?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew he probably wouldn't play that much that year, but I felt very important for me to be able to be there and to support him and to be around that situation. And so anyway, I coached basketball that year, JV basketball, and I still coach tennis, and I'd done that for years and years there. But anyway, the very next year, our rival high school, Tucker High School, the head football job came open, and the principal called me there and asked me if I'd be interested in the job, and I said, well, I can't. I've got too many Saturday games. And right around that same time, my principal from Lakeside became the new athletic director for the county. And so he called me a few days later and said he would change the Saturday games if I would take the job. And I said, well, you know, if I do, the people at Lakeside are not going to be real happy with me or you either one. He said, well, it was out of your control, and, you know, you had – there's nothing else you can do about it. I said, well, I'll do it. So anyway, I met with Tucker and told him that I might be there only 3 or 4 years, and because I was planning on coming to Alabama and coaching and finished up watching Michael play. And so anyway, they hired me, and I coached there for 3 years, and then I came to Tallahassee after that. And then I coached here 5 years, and then after coaching at Tallahassee, I wanted to see my grandkids. They were playing sports in Auburn, so I ended up taking a job in Auburn City Schools, and I actually taught my first 3 years in Auburn City Schools at elementary school. Now, I taught, you know, 30-some-odd years,
but not
36,
at that level.
37 in high school, and now here I am coaching, or not coaching, but teaching first through fifth grade.
But that was fun, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a load of fun. And the my first day with the first graders, and I think I had 80 some odd first graders in one class, me, and I had an aide, and it was like herding cattle trying to get them to do them. But anyway, I really enjoyed that experience, and I coached in Auburn City Schools. I coached, you know, football, coached seventh grade football. Then they taught me to be an assistant on varsity, and I was not real happy with that, because after you've been a head coach, it's hard to coach for somebody else.
I can
understand. I did do that for 1 year, and then I told them after that, I said, I want to go back to seventh grade.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was a lot easier situation as far as time constraints were, too. And but I also coached the golf, girls' golf team in Auburn, and we did extremely well with that and had a lot of fun with it. And then I'm retired now and playing at the lake.
You still live on Lake Martin.
On Lake Martin.
As you did when you moved to Tallahassee,
We moved to Tallahassee, we bought a house on Lake Martin and spent a good bit of time refurbishing it and renovating it, and had a lot of time. In fact, most of the time at Tallahassee, I would drive back and forth every day.
Yeah.
And I did, for 1 year, I did rent a house here. It's just a small little kind of apartment in a house. And so it was a lot easier on me rather than having to drive back and forth all the time. But I probably would have stayed here at Tallahassee longer if it wasn't such a hard situation to do that. And the other thing with my grandchildren in Auburn, starting to get where they were playing a lot of sports and trying to watch them play and, you know, support them and be around for my daughter's family. And my daughter's husband is Chris Brandt, who coaches basketball at Auburn High School and played
still
at Auburn
coaching
University.
There, yeah.
He's a very good coach.
He was a good, great basketball player,
yeah,
too.
He was, yeah. But so it was a good situation for me to do that. But I did miss being a head football coach and being it. But it would have been hard for me to just drop out of it completely and just not coach. And so I was able to kind of step back from it at a slower pace and still involved in a lot of coaching and things. And, you know, in Georgia, I was the head wrestling coach. I coached boys and girls tennis, head boys and girls tennis coach. And I actually coached JV basketball and coached football. And so I coached a lot of things as head coach.
I think you've listed off about 10 sports already.
Yeah. Well, my first wrestling match that I ever saw, I coached. When I went to Lakeside,
wow,
the principal asked me if I could coach wrestling. I said, I've seen it on TV, but that's it. He said, it's not like that.
And yeah.
He said, we'll get you a book. So anyway, I was a JV coach for 3 years, and they promoted me to head coach, and I did that for 5 years. And when I became head football coach, I dropped the coaching of wrestling. But I was a tremendous amount of fun. I enjoyed that. My first thing I did, Clemson had a good wrestling program at the time, and I took kids to their camp and went there and learned everything I could about it and really enjoyed it. That was a lot of fun.
It's in the blood because your son is now in Houston, and he's doing the same thing. He's a high school football coach.
Yeah, he's the head football coach at Lamar High School in Houston. And it's a big school. And
Friday Night Lights out
there.
Yes,
it is. Yeah. It's, he's really enjoyed it. He does a great job with it. He is extremely involved in the kids. Mm-hmm. His most important thing is, and my thing too, but the wins, I always felt like if you take care of your players, the wins will take care of themselves. And that's why he goes about it too. And sometimes you're going to have some situations where you aren't going to be as successful as you want to be. And certainly at Tallahassee, when I first came here, it was a definite situation that was very difficult, but we got through it and turned things around and finished up strong. But it was a tough first few years here.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that. It was, you go from winning a state championship, and you did win a state title as a coach. We talked about that as a player. Which school was it in Atlanta?
It was Lakeside High School.
It was the last school you coached at, right?
Yes.
So you end up winning at that school, and then you come over here, and you. I remember your words when you finally got the first win, because it was not on the coaching staff, let me say that, because we were just low on talent. It was just a tough time in our football history. But it was the 19th game in, and you pick up the first win on the last game of your second season.
Yes.
And you said, I remember, it's as big as any win. It's better than state championships and all. Was it a humbling? It had to be a bit humbling, too, did
it? Oh, it was. And, I'm sure I was like a lot of coaches. I thought, I don't care who you give me, I can win with them. But it's not all that. It's not the case so much, and it wasn't so much the players. It was a lot of the situation. We started drug testing here, and because there was a problem, and we had a lot of players. We had five or six of the better players decide not to come out. We had a couple of other situations where a few players, quit the team before we started the season because of discipline problems and not wanting to, do what was necessary to make things right. And so that was a tough situation, and it was tough to go through. And if I had not had success in Georgia, I'm not sure if I could have survived it here, but to me, wins are not the most important thing. I mean, the wins will come if you do things right and if you've got talent. And, you know, you can't win without talent. I don't care how good a coach you are. I mean, you've got to have some talent. And but just because you lose doesn't mean you don't have any talent. But to me, the most important thing is what happens to those kids when they leave your program, when they leave you, and what kind of culture did you motivate those kids to adhere to. And, you know, when we started the drug testing, like I say, we had some players quit and wouldn't go through it. A few of them tested positive, and it wasn't the kiss of death. They were suspended 3 games and had to undergo some therapy with some of the physicians here, and they had to continue to be tested every time they came in. It was a random test. They didn't test everybody. I mean, the company would come in and test a certain number of students at random. I didn't know who they were going to test. Coach Stewart didn't know. So that really made it was difficult the first year. But then after that, I could really see the importance of it and see what it did. And I had multiple students came up to me, and DeMond Washington was one of them, who turned out to be a great player here. But
no doubt.
Said, "Coach, you know, that's one of the best things that ever happened to me. During the weekends, I used to have to tell people no when they kept trying to get me to do drugs, you know, over and over again. Now I just tell them, no, I may be tested, and they leave me alone. They don't bother me. Don't ask me anymore. In fact, nobody asked me anymore." And so it took the pressure off of them. But the first couple of years was a little tough going through it and getting into that situation. And but it wasn't just football. It was every sport. It was every extracurricular activity. Even if you parked on campus, you had to, you know, sign up to be tested. And it turned out to be, a big blessing for some of the kids. And actually, we got me and Coach Stewart got to go to Washington, D.C. The President's Council on Drug Awareness honored us in Washington for the program that we started. And it wasn't something I invented or did. I mean, there was a program out there, and I just found the program and did everything I could to bring it to here. And we did it for those 5 years I was here, and I think it really made a big difference.
You coached 30 years in Georgia, right?
31, actually.
And pretty much once winning season every single year, right? I mean, you made the playoffs every single year, right?
Never had a losing season.
Never had a losing season.
Until here.
Until you come here. Right. I mean, you go 0-10, 1-9, and then the wins started coming.
Yeah.
What is it like to go through that? And I think you said it in the quote when you said, you know, this is as big a win as any when you got the first one, but to see the program come back up when it was, you know, in such a, you know, tough situation at early on.
Well, for the players to see that, you know, you get the reward from all the hard times you've put in and all the hard situations you've gone through. And then to get that reward, you know, I know it was Dadeville who we played, and we were 0-9 that year. We were 0-10 the year before, and we were, I think, the Auburn newspaper picked us to get beat by 21 points or something. And we won by, I think it was
20. 27-7, yeah.
27-7.
Yeah.
And from then on, in fact, that is the only time that I've ever had water thrown on me by my players.
Kidding.
Even when the state championship, I wouldn't let the players – yeah. Throw water on me.
Yeah, and you did win by 21, 28-7. Yeah.
28-7. And anyway, so I that was the first time that had ever happened. I'd had them where they wanted to before. I said, no, y'all throw it on each other. I didn't win this game, y'all did.
Yeah.
And so, but that one, I did not care. I was happy about it. It was a really good situation for the kids to see that, you know, you can still do things right and have success at it.
You the wins came after that, but before we get into some of the, you know, those type moments and obviously guys like DeMond Washington and some of the players that you coached, How did Tattlesee land on the map? Was it just because of the connection close by to Lake Martin? Were there other job possibilities out there for you that you looked at in coming to Alabama after retirement?
In fact, I had applied at Auburn High School at one time, and right about that time or a little bit before. And then, in fact, when I got this job, the Auburn High School job came open, and I'd already told Coach Stewart that I would take the job here. And Auburn called me up and said they would be, because I'd already interviewed there too, and they said they would like to. I mean, I said, I can. I'm taking the Tallahassee job. And it was hard to turn that down because, you know, they're in Auburn, and my daughter teaches there, my son-in-law, my grandkids would go there. But I'd already made my commitment here, and I told them I can't go back on my commitment.
A lot of people would have changed their mind, I know.
Yeah. And but I didn't feel like that was the right thing to do. It's a thing I probably would have enjoyed doing, but sometimes you got to make some tough choices to do what you think is right. And so then I came here, and I don't regret any part of it. You know, I certainly didn't like the first 2 years, but the kids that stuck with it and stayed with it, it was really rewarding to watch them go through it and to grow as young men.
Yeah, that early slow start, but the next year right into the playoffs, 6-5 that year. And then the next year you go 9-3 and then 5-5 to round it out. You obviously had a very good player in Damon Washington that comes to mind. Right. He was an all-state player back-to-back years. He got hurt that senior year, which could have maybe even been a different situation, but you're moving and transitioning as well. You were the first coach to coach Tallahassee in the 5A ranks because we were a 4A school for all those years.
Yeah, right. And I think according to our numbers at the school, they said, I think we had 3 students above what it would have been to stay in 4A.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure those numbers were right.
It was close. We were right on the border, right? Right on the line.
There was three students less than what we reported.
No kidding.
We would have still been in 4A.
Right.
But, you know, those things happen, and you've got to do, you know, play with the hand that's been dealt to you. And, and of course, we got a very intense schedule that year, because I felt like that if you're going to, you know, try to do better in the playoffs, you really need to up your non-region games.
Yeah.
And so we had a pretty tough schedule, and I think they dropped one game we had with home. Was it?
They did the next year.
Yeah. The next year. And
putting Notasoga in there, but Homewood was one of the top dogs at that time.
Yeah,
they class.
Were. Yeah, but I, you know, I felt like it was, and of course, we had to play that game without DeMond in there too. It wouldn't have made any difference to the outcome, the final outcome, but it could have made it a little bit closer. But you know, I just think thought it was important to try to stretch your boundaries in order to, you know, get better in the rankings that you're at in your classification.
We mentioned DeMond a couple of times. Yeah. He obviously went on and played at Auburn and then and played in the Canadian Football League. And we talked to him here not too long ago. Yeah. Do you still keep up with him and others?
I do at times. I haven't talked to DeMond in a couple of years. I really, thought an awful lot of DeMond. I think he had a lot of character. I know he had one situation here that I don't think was his doing, but went through it and came out of it okay. And but it was I think DeMond was a class guy, and he had a pretty rough situation and had to go through some rough situations. His mom was just as good as gold. I loved her to death. Just really a nice, very nice person, very nice lady. And but I thought the world of DeMond, and he was a very good talent. You know, it's hard to move him from running back to quarterback, but because he's such a good running back, and but we were able to kind of build the offense around that anyway. So
we mentioned the Dable win. That has to be one of the biggest wins. Yes. You said the biggest win you'd ever had.
Even state championship did not feel as I don't know if the word's relieved or if it just knowing that, especially I think we were picked by the Auburn paper to lose by 3 touchdowns, and we won by 3, I think. And it was really just really a rewarding situation for the players as well as our assistant coaches. And I had some good assistant coaches here, some good guys that, you know, worked hard, and they were not necessarily, you know, football first coaches as far as knowledge and their experience, but really good guys that that did a good job and worked hard.
In that third year when you made the playoffs, you beat Childersburg 7-6 to clinch your spot. Yeah, I know you remember that game that got us back in the postseason again.
Right, yes.
And one thing about the postseason, you drew, it seems like every time we drew a first-round team, we drew UMS right in to win the state championship.
Right.
But I, one thing I remember about that game, and that was that season, was the Million Dollar Band performed before the game from Alabama. They were headed down to LSU, and they stopped there, and they did the, you know, pregame Yay Alabama before the kickoff.
Yes.
But the next year was your best year in Tattlesee as far as wins go. 9-3, that was the 2005 season. You know, how good was that team? I mean, it was a pretty good football team altogether. Went to the second round of the playoffs.
It was, and, you know, they worked hard. And I think that the talent was good, but their dedication to doing things the right way and to lifting weights and to doing the conditioning, and that was the hardest thing when I first came here. I mean, to get the kids just in the weight room was a chore. I mean, I had some kids that, "Coach, I can't go. I'm working from 6 in the morning till 6 at night."
Yeah.
And so, well, I hope you stay in shape then and be ready. But that was a problem for, you know, the first couple of years. And I think they bought into a lot more with the, you know, the weight training. We worked on improving our weight room and things like that. And they, you know, bought into that phase of football and what you have to do to be that kind of athlete.
The team won in Jemison 42-36. It was a wild game. I know you remember there was some onside kicks, and the PA announcer went on and on during the game about faking injuries on the field and stuff. Yeah. Have you ever seen anything like that or heard anything like that from a public address announcer?
No.
Yeah. No. Do you notice those things on the field? You're probably kind of zoning that out, aren't you?
I do. I don't. I mean, it's me and the calling plays and dealing with the players and, you know, thinking about what's coming up next and not, because if you're trying to think about what's going on right now, you're not ready for what's fixing to happen. And so as a coach, you've got to be, you know, several plays ahead, several situations ahead of what's going on. And you know, so you can't really be tied up in that kind of thing.
We ended up losing a heartbreaker in the second round of the playoffs that year. It was a 2-overtime game, lost to Geneva County, 21-14. You know, Tallahassee has only been to the quarters, you know, not a handful of times, and they've only been to the semis a few times. So we were that close to being back again.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, in that game we went for two.
Yeah,
at the end.
Seems right.
If we made the two, we win. If we don't make it, we lose. And we had a wide open receiver, and it just didn't happen like we wanted it to. Didn't complete the pass, but wasn't anybody within about 5 or 6 yards of him. And, you know, it was a situation where, you know, we came that close to winning it. And, you know, I really never second guessed whether or not we should have gone for two that or go for or kick it and then go in the overtime. But, because I felt like we had a great two-point play, and it almost worked, but almost didn't get you any further.
Yeah, and your final year was the fifth season, 2006. You go 5-5, first year in 5A football. And you said it, I think, a little bit earlier. You decided, I think I'd like to be around the grandkids and such who were starting to grow up a little bit now. How tough was that call to make?
It was very tough. After, you know, coaching so many years as a head football coach. And I just really enjoyed being at the high school level. And I had a couple of opportunities to go and be an assistant in college, and I turned them down because I just didn't want that kind of situation where you had to do your recruiting and everything else that went along with that. So I really enjoyed coaching high school football. And when I gave it up here, I went to Auburn City Schools, and I coached seventh grade team there. And you know, that's a lot low-key compared to that, but I still had 90. I had 90-something players out for seventh grade there because Auburn City being such a big school. And it was a lot of fun coaching that age kid. And I actually taught elementary school for the first year. I taught first through fifth graders at Yarborough Elementary.
Yeah.
And I did that for 3 years and then coached at the junior high and taught at the junior high for a couple of years. But that was actually a lot of fun.
No doubt. You had retirement here a few years back. Guess 45 years in coaching, basically.
Pretty much so, yeah.
What was that like, having some folks, say thank you, coach, for your time?
Oh, yeah. And I've been extremely fortunate at the high school that I coached at in Atlanta, Lakeside High School. I've been inducted to the Hall of Fame there, and I was actually inducted in the high school that I went to as a player in the Hall of Fame there. But to go back and see a lot of those people, and they're having inducting a new set of players and coaches every year into the high school Hall of Fame there at Lakeside High School. And I got to see one of my favorite players, Huey Richardson, who played at Lakeside and went on and played at Florida and was a first round pick in the NFL. And he brought his kids to the reunion, and that was an awful lot of fun, or the Hall of Fame thing that we had, and that was a lot of fun with that.
It is something to think about, though, if you pretty much spent your adult life as a coach, how many players you've coached, how many players you've taught in a classroom, right, and that kind of thing, and then doing it over multiple sports like you've done it.
Yeah.
It's a lot through the years.
Oh, it is. And, I think I told you earlier on that I started off managing a clothing store and making a lot of money. And I quit that job to make $6,300 with my yearly gross salary as a football coach in an all-black school in South Georgia that turned out that year was one of the most rewarding years of my life, too. And I'm so happy that I made that change. And it dictated my life from then on.
It's not about money, is it?
It's not. No. Never has been, never will be. And I mean, I can't complain because I live on Lake Martin. And of course, I'd hate to have to try to buy the house I've got now when I bought it back then 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's been very rewarding.
Coach, it's been great to talk with you and good to catch up. We appreciate the time. We used to do these radio shows every week, and we always appreciate your time and commitment to doing that and what you did here in Tallahassee
Thank you. Thank you for coming over. I appreciate Tallahassee, and thanks to all the people that are here that supported us throughout those 5 years I was here.
Coach Phil Lindsay, who coached at Tallahassee 2002 to 2006, as we look back on a century of Tallahassee High School football. Coach, we'll talk soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.